Good morning, good people. This is Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning we are talking with Dr. Sharita Yazid about immigrating to Africa. Dr. Yazid, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you about this because I know a lot of people, I've talked with people who say they would be interested in retiring to Ghana or retiring to South Africa. And, you know, they're always trying to gather information, look for information. And it seems that you have kind of embraced this possibility and you are helping people with that transition. Can you share?
Yes.
Can you share with our listeners how you got started doing this?
Well, basically, I came from a family of parents that were revolutionists. And my father was always pushing me to go to Africa at one point in time. So since high school, I've been wanting to go to live in Africa. But just like a lot of people, I didn't know anything about the place as far as culture, where I wanted to live, languages and things like that. So I lived in Atlanta for 20 years, and I danced with an African dance group called the Uhuru Dancers that's been there about 29 years. And there was a Ghana Expo that happened in 2004, and it was at the International Conference Center, and they had a lot of panel discussions and things like that. But we danced for the Ashanti King. It was like an exchange, you know, cultural presentation. So I just went around to the expo after we performed and, you know, checked out some things and learned so much about Ghana, that it was English speaking, that they had a lot of different types of businesses that you can get into, whether it's agriculture, IT, going there to set up nonprofit organizations, you know, et cetera. And so I just kind of, you know, they showed us like some different places that you can stay, different regions, the kind of housing you can live in, whether you can live the same lifestyle that you live here or if you want to do something different, you know, when you get there to Ghana. So I just, you know, listened to a lot of different things and met a lot of people and decided, okay, I want to take my trip to Ghana as my first introduction to Africa. And that was in 2006 when we went. There was a group from out of Philadelphia called the 2020 group, and we took about 80 people to Ghana August 2006. So ever since then, that's been it. I've been there since then. This year, it makes 11 years. August actually makes 12 years. And I've been living and loving and, you know, going with the pros and cons and making my adjustments and, you know, doing many different things. We took our company over there, which is a herbal company that's been around for 40 years based out of L.A. And we're also in Atlanta. We had a store there, an office there, and then we still have lots of distributors there. So we took it to Ghana and set up business there. And I do radio and TV there, speaking on food therapy as a way of healing, speaking as a naturopathic doctor. So it's been a long journey, but it's been very fruitful for me. And so I'm here in the States. I've been here since January for about 4 months to speak to people about, you know, coming back to Africa, you know, but with a plan, especially if they want to repatriate. So come stay with me, come play with me. It's two different things when it comes down to, you know, going to a whole nother culture.
So
and into another place for that matter.
And you're saying that Ghana kind of chose you. And I think one of the other things you mentioned that is probably important to consider is that it is an English speaking country on the continent.
Yes, that's what makes it an easier process because and then the English is a British English. So there is a cultural difference just there between the British culture and American culture when it comes down to the English, And then you also have the Ghanaian English as well. But at the end of the day, you know, the official language of the country is English.
Which I would assume makes it much easier in moving to another continent where you share at least an understanding of the language. Now, you've also mentioned that often people make mistakes. You know, they sell everything, they move to Ghana, and in a couple of months or a couple of years, they're kind of back in the U.S. And you've also mentioned actually repatriating. So what's the difference from people who kind of visit, you know, live for an extended period, and then the people who actually repatriate to the country?
Well, pretty much repatriation, I would consider myself close to 5,000 other diasporan blacks that are living there. That's not just the United States, but we're also talking about the Caribbean and also the UK. A lot of black British do live in Ghana as well. And so we're there doing business. We're going to school there. We're, we have our residence there. And then you have some people who just kind of come just to visit. You know, come back and forth, you know, it might be a place where they just come, you know, just for their vacation. You have a lot of people who come also to retire. So when it comes down to when I decide to make my move, I did have a 2-year plan. I went there August 2006. I said, okay, I can do this. I got a 2-year plan. So I went back and forth about 5 or 6 times between 2006 and 2008, you know, making my plan, seeing where I want to live, getting to know more about what my personal plan is as far as setting up the business, you know, even getting a car, you know, finding a place to stay, setting up, you know, the same thing you would do when I left from Los Angeles and came to Atlanta, paying rent, where do you go to pay your light bill and water bill, you know, so that whole thing. So, and then meeting different people that's in the same field that you're in. And then, you know, just making your connections. I did a lot of shaking hands and kissing babies in the first several years, you know, going there to make my process, you know, much smoother. So I did have a plan. Now, when it comes down to people who just decide, okay, you know what, I've had enough of America. Oh, if Trump wins, I'm out of here. I have so many different messages. Just I'm on Facebook, so my Facebook Messenger inbox is always getting just from people that are here that's just fed up, tired of their condition here in America, and deciding to look at alternatives to America. And of course, Ghana has been one of those big places to look at because for so many different reasons, like we talked about before. So my thing is, okay, when you decide to come, make sure you're understanding what you're getting into. When I moved from Los Angeles to Atlanta, come visit Atlanta and come stay in Atlanta was two different things as well. It's two different types of thinking sometimes. You know, the government is different. There's a lot of variations that you have to look at. So it's the same thing when you're going to another country. And it's going to be a lot more differences. But then at the same time, you're going to see lots of similarities, especially when it comes down to the one-on-one connection with the people, you know, that are living there and that are from there.
So if there's someone listening now and that kind of dream of living in Africa or visiting Ghana, becoming a resident is something that they are considering, you're advising that you take more than one trip to kind of get your, you know, sea legs or Ghana legs, so to speak. Why was that so important to do?
Because you're going to something that you just know nothing about. You know what I'm saying? Even if you have friends over here, I have plenty of Ghanaian friends right there in Atlanta that I knew even before going to Ghana or knew anything much, you know, about Ghana. I didn't even know that they were speaking English because they knew it from their country. I thought they were speaking English because they learned it when they came. You see, so it was just so much I didn't know. And that is a good thing to be able to get connected to your friends that are from the continent that are here, especially the countries that you're interested in going to. So basically, The first trip you want to take, I would advise taking with a group, with a tour group that has experience of going over there. So you can just get your, you know, make that pilgrimage, you know, make that return back to the motherland, go through the tours, go through the castle dungeons, come back through the door of return. It said we would never return. So come back through the door of return, bring your ancestors with you, you know, go through that whole spiritual, historical experience. And then you're going to be able to also get a taste of what it's like to be there. You'll talk to so many different people just like you that are living there, as well as Ghanaians that lived outside in the West and then decide to come back, you know, to either live or retire or whatever, just like you. So get yourself familiar. And then once you get there, you decide, you know what, yes, like myself, I can do this. But then it might be, well, it's I'm not liking this, or there's this problem, or, you know, whatever. And, you know, and you decide you need to maybe go a few more times, you know, do that. But if you get there and you decide, this is wonderful, I can do this, still make that trip back by yourself. Stay for a month to 2 months. Try to move around a little bit more. Spend more time in the spaces where you feel comfortable. Because when you go on those trips with the tours, you're going in anywhere from 10 days to 2 weeks. And it's enough time to get a taste, but it's not enough time to really digest, you know, Africa. So that's the time when you can really make a sound decision. When you stay in a month or 2 months, you're kind of moving around on your own or maybe with your family, and then you spending time in places that you feel you might want to live.
And now, I was going to say, I would imagine moving to a completely different country on a different continent, while you might want things to seem familiar, shouldn't it be about exploring all of the things that are different?
Oh, yes, you definitely want to explore that. But what I mean by that is that, you know, having the connection with the people, a lot of times there's so many different, those differences is what divide us. Differences is what causes us to have, you know, problems even adjusting in another environment. So getting along with the people and then seeing that, for me, going to Ghana for the first time, and even now, was like going back 30, 40 years living in the South. My mother is from Louisiana, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and my father's from Alcoa, Tennessee, about 20 minutes from Knoxville. And so when I remember going to those places, it's a lot of things that was so familiar when going there to Ghana, as well as the different foods, the different ways that we eat, some of our mannerisms, you know, how we think, you know, in some ways, you know, why even things like why we're wearing all the bling bling, all the gold. And when you go to the Ashanti Palace and you see some of the festivals and see some of the chiefs and kings when they're doing their festive traditional events, you see so much gold just, you know, all around their necks and arms and legs. It's just on their crowns, you know, and so you start to wonder, okay, well, maybe this is the reason why we just automatically, you know, jump into doing that. It's like something that's reconnecting you back without in more of a subconscious way, you know.
So it's a cultural reason for us liking the shiny things.
Right. Yeah. You see where you get a lot of different things, even the way women, you know, shake their hands and, you know, move their fingers around whenever we have in our attitude, you know, or even smacking our lips like that's like real popular over there. I was familiar with that as soon as I heard it. And it's for the same reason.
Dr. Yasid, share with our listeners just a little bit about the festivals and some of the celebrations that take place annually in the country of Ghana.
Okay, well, their festival season, as far as traditional festivals, is anywhere from June all the way to November, some seasons. But the main time is from June to October. And basically, there's 10 regions in Ghana, and it moves. There's different festivals that kind of take place at the same time. But, for example, where I'm at, I'm in the eastern region. Basically, there'll be maybe about 20 different festivals within a period of time because the festival moves from town to town. And you'll see, this is when you see a lot of the culture. This is when they bring out a lot of things from out of the warehouse and say, okay, or out of storage, that they where they keep a lot of the traditional wear, crowns, you know, clothing, shoes, you know, all kind of different ornaments and things that they use in different rituals. And so they bring them out. So you'll be able to see the chiefs being carried on these palanquins. You see these beautiful what looks like huge umbrellas with all these beautiful colors, and you see, you know, people walking, you know, along the side of the king. Then you see different like priests and priestess, you know, walking amongst, you know, some of them might even be under like not under the influence, but kind of under like a spell, in a sense where they're just walking around like a spirit. You know, there's a lot of, you know, things with the children. You know, it's just a big, you know, family event. And it shows a lot of the pride that the people have, you know, from that area. It's their time to show off, you know, who they are as the Khans or the Ewes or the Hausers or the Gans, you know. And it's a festive time. And what I like about it as well is you see people, no matter what tribe or what area they come from, you know, people attend each other's, you know, festivals. And it's a way even for the different tribes and people to get to know each other, you know, or things that they might not know each other, because maybe you're not getting it in your education, in your books, or maybe you don't get the information at home, you know, from your family. So it's a good exchange and cultural awareness piece as well.
Dr. Yasid, this is fascinating, and I'd love the way that you're saying African Americans definitely come to Ghana, but come with a plan. And how could our listeners who are, you know, interested, I don't want to fill up your Facebook page too much, but how can they get in touch with you to learn about the steps they should take to make that move to the continent?
Well, I'm on WhatsApp in the U.S. as well as Ghana. And what some of the best ways to get to me is through social media. I'm on Instagram, and everything is under Dr. Sharita, Drsharita. And you'll be able to find me on Facebook, Instagram, and you can either inbox me, or you can you know, send me a message on the page. But I'm going to always be posting there the times that I'll be doing interviews or different talks, as well as conference calls that we're going to be setting up starting in April. Because there's so many questions that people have, and a lot of people have a lot of the same questions. So we want to be able to take a chance for people to be able to call in. You know, we'll talk for a couple of hours and get people's questions answered, as well as talk about the festival that I do myself every 2 years, and different tours and different ways. I have a lot of people responding to me in reference to wanting to go there as a family, you know, for the first time. So little small groups and being able to put together packages, you know, for them. You know, so it's a lot of information that they'll be able to get, you know, through the conference call. So I'll keep all that stuff posted on the social media. And then if you want to send me a WhatsApp message, you can send it to 770-316-4217 at 770-316-4217. And that's probably the fastest way to get a hold of me. And I don't mind. This is what I came here to do. This is why I came here to the States, is to be able to help people to come to Africa, to Ghana, and with a smooth transition, and to be able to really come and enjoy and have a very positive, inspirational exchange.
One of the things you mentioned is a lot of people are retiring to Ghana, and it is cheaper to live in Ghana than in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a real option, so to speak, for African Americans who do want to go back home?
Yeah, it's a real option. You know, me myself, I'm there working as a naturopath, but I'm living in a 3-bedroom, 3-bath house, very spacious, nice sized living room, a dining room, nice sized kitchen. The yard is a plenty of space that, you know, for children to play. I have I'm in the mountains, I'm overlooking a town, you know, next to a school that's been around for 70 years, and it's only an hour away from the main city, and it's a real serene place to stay and still be able to do all the things that you might need to do in the city when it comes down to maybe taking care of your business or getting things in the city that maybe you can't get, you know, in the rural or in the mountain areas. And I'm paying $200 a month for rent. And I know that same house in Atlanta, that is, certain parts of Atlanta would definitely go for $3,000 a month minimum. I'm in Los Angeles right now, $4,000, $5,000 a month because of all the amenities that's inside.
That is amazing. So for our listeners, you can find Dr. Sherita on social media at Dr. Sherita, DrSharita. And if you're interested in moving back to the continent, living in Ghana, please make sure you have a plan. Dr. Sherita Yassid, thank you so much for sharing with our listeners today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so honored.
Take care now.
You too.